Today, most of the large and complex denominations that were strong in the past are shrinking significantly. And it's the independent congregations, the free churches, if you will, that are often growing. I find it ironic and even healthy that a bishop of the Anglican Church, which is one of the most complex of the religious denominations within Christendom, N.T. Wright, you may have heard of N.T. Wright. He has written a book labeled Simply Christian. It's not a bad read, by the way. The point is, even in the complexity of a denominational structure that is very tradition-bound, there is a desire for something simple. There's a desire for boiling things down and making them simple instead of continuing to add layers of complexity. What I'm saying is religious complexity, whether it be the denominational world or the Pharisees, has failed humanity. Jesus taught and practiced something quite simple. The restoration movement, of which our congregation is a part, simplicity is part of our DNA. Faith should simplify our lives instead of adding burdens of complexity to it. And that's the simple Christianity I seek. And it's the theme of what I'd like to share with you tonight. A great theologian one time, coming from his home in Europe to America, was interviewed. This is in the mid-20th century. As he stepped off the plane, they asked him, "Sir, you've studied theology. You've plumbed the depths of God. What's the most profound theological thought you've ever had?" And he stopped for a moment and said, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." He recognized the simplicity and the foundation of that simplicity. I want us to remember that simple Christianity is not simplistic Christianity. When I was in fourth grade, I thought I just about knew it all because I could read and write, add and subtract and multiply and divide. And I thought to myself, what else is there? And it escaped my notice that there were grades 5 through 12 plus college and graduate school. You know, that wasn't even on my radar. But a wise teacher told me, the more you know you don't know. The Christian faith is meant to be simple, but not simplistic. Simplistic everything is cut and dry. Simplistic theology reduces God to a formula, but God is too big for a formula. God is too big to be put into a box. Romans 11 reminds us of this when Paul says, "Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments, his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor?" Our God is not simple. Our response to him may be simple, but he is not simple. So, George, I agree with your answer. We started our discussion together. Christianity is both simple and complex because there's no theology that perfectly plumbs the mystery of God. If it thinks it does, if that theology think it perfectly plumbs the mystery of God, that theology is short-sighted. Never lose the wonder of the God we worship. If God is not somewhat mysterious to us, he ceases to be above us and beyond us, and we, quote, have him figured out. Brothers and sisters, we do not have a God we figure out. We have a God who is beyond human understanding, beyond full human understanding. When Job suffered, he asked the big question of why. And God never gave him a direct answer, did he? Basically, what God did is reminded Job that Job didn't know it all. We never fully figure out the ways of God. Our greatest response to God may be relatively simple, but God himself is not simple. Secondly, this evening, simple Christianity is not only not simplistic, simple Christianity is unadorned Christianity. Years ago when I was in college, there was a girl that several of us knew, we were friends with, and you know, she was kind of spoken by the guys behind her back as being the painted lady. That was our way of saying she used too much makeup, in our estimation. And one time, a bunch of us were in a camping trip, and she had left her makeup at home, and all of us went to great pains to tell us how beautiful she looked. And that was true. She didn't need to be adorned by all those cosmetics. 1 Peter chapter 3 tells us this about our faith. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of the inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Christians should be known by their character more than their outward adornment. The inner beauty of the spirit shines through, doesn't it? So simple Christianity is unadorned Christianity. You don't have to put makeup on Christianity in order to make it beautiful. It's naturally beautiful, amen? What I'm saying is this. We do not have to have an ornate church building or cathedral or unique vestments or sensually oriented worship in order to be pleasing to God and be edified in our faith. Simple, unadorned Christianity is beautiful in itself. We don't need a band or an organ or piano or drums in order to praise God. We don't need a smoke machine. We don't need a strobe light in order to be spiritual, do we? We have none of those things in this congregation because we just want to worship the simple Christian way as God has commanded. We don't need complicated rituals and formalized liturgies in order to worship God. In my opinion, a lot of what Christendom has added to help in worship has detracted from the simple, unadorned purity of the Christian faith. Simple Christianity is unadorned Christianity that empowers the human spirit with the Spirit of God. And it stands on its own merit rather than finding its strength through adornments, extras. Simple Christianity is unadorned Christianity. But thirdly, simple Christianity is unadulterated Christianity. You know, when you mix the Christian faith with another worldview or religion, you water down the truth of the gospel. Have you discovered that? That's true. The fancy word for this mixing is synchronism. You know how you synchronize gears so that they mesh together like that? Well, sometimes philosophically or religiously, we synchronize things. For example, the Roman Catholic Church began to synchronize the political system of Rome with the spiritual system of Christianity. It tried to mix the two. And in doing so, it adulterated the purity of the simple Christianity. The book of Colossians was written to Christians in the first century who attempted to mix their faith with Christ with something else, man-made spiritual rules. And Paul said it this way to the Colossians in chapter 2 and verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy. So let's be careful what we marry to our faith. Let's be careful what we synchronize together with our faith. Simple Christianity is unadulterated, unmixed Christianity, if you will. One preacher wrote a book on the book of Colossians, and he titled it Christ, No More, No Less. And I love the title, don't you? Because all we want is Jesus, amen? We want nothing more than Jesus, and we want nothing less than Jesus. We just want simple, unadorned Christianity. The Bible itself warns us against adulterating the Christian faith. Revelation 22 warns, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him what? The plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the book of prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and from the holy city. Brothers and sisters, we don't want to add to the word of God. We don't want to take away from it, do we? We don't want to adulterate the purity of Christianity found in Scripture. Simple Christianity is unadulterated, pure faith. Nothing added, nothing else needed. Anything added to Christianity tends to pollute it. A number of years ago, the church I served in Washington was on a well system. We didn't have city water. We were kind of out in the country, okay? And we had a well system, and somehow or other, a whole bunch of fertilizer got into that well. Well, we couldn't drink the water for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. It had to be, you know, leached out, and new water had to come in and had to be diluted to the point where the fertilizer would not poison us. Anytime we add something to the purity of the water of life from God's word, that adulteration, that mixing, that syncretism gives us impurity. We can't say that we'll take the Bible plus human tradition, or the Bible plus a church dogma or creed, or the Bible plus religious experience. The Bible alone makes Christians alone, amen? That's what we want, is simple, unadulterated Christianity. My vision for simple Christianity is the purity and doctrinal teaching of Scripture, taught by Jesus, revealed by his apostles and prophets in the New Testament, and written in the Word of God, which we're privileged to have. Simple Christianity is pure, unpolluted, unadulterated Christianity. Number four, simple Christianity is original, genuine, and authentic. I mentioned before that contemporary churches of Christ have arisen out of the Restoration Movement. Men and women from various groups within Christendom have said, can't we just be Christians? Can't we just go by the Bible? Can't we return to the simplicity of the Christian message? The Restoration Movement began in this country almost two centuries ago in an effort to return to that original, genuine, and authentic Christian faith. Instead of denominational loyalty, our forebears in our movement saw faithfulness to the Word of God in an effort to reestablish the original, authentic, genuine Christian faith. Have we fully succeeded? Probably not. Are we a lot closer to the goal? Absolutely we are. I want us to keep our eyes on the goal of simple Christianity as revealed in Scripture, original, genuine, and authentic Christian faith. It's not the culture of the first century we want to restore. I don't know about you, but I don't mind having air conditioning in a church building. Do you? I actually like a little heat during the wintertime. I even like plumbing. Indoor variety preferred. The point I'm making is simply this. When we talk about restoring Christianity to the first century, we're talking about restoring not the cultural trappings of the first century, but what is taught in Scripture that's spiritual in nature. The spiritual values, the teaching, the heart of the Christian faith. We want to be authentic, genuine Christians in the 21st century. But we want our roots to go back to the early Christianity and the faith taught in this book. We want our faith in Christ to be real, genuine, and authentic as the faith of believers was in the first century. Now, let me give you a caution. It's easier for us to restore the forms of the Christian faith than to restore not only the forms but the spirit of the early church. And restoring both the forms and the spirit is essential. It takes more than having baptism by immersion and weekly communion and a cappella singing and a church led by elders to be a New Testament church. We also have to have the spirit of the New Testament church. Hear what I'm saying? It's important that we restore the forms of the New Testament church. But it's also important that we restore the spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the concern for each other found within the New Testament. And it's easier for us to restore the forms than it is the spirit. So let's not lose sight of that spiritual goal of restoring the spirit of the early church and not be satisfied with only restoring the forms of original Christianity. We need both. We need, yes, the spirit, but we better have the forms as well. Coke is always advertised. It's the real thing. I say always. Within my memory, has advertised itself as the real thing. Simple Christianity is the real thing. It's the genuine article, the genuine, original, authentic faith. We want to accept no substitutes for the real thing. We want both the form of the Christian faith as taught in Scripture, but we also want the spirit of early Christianity as exhibited by the spirit of the early church. Amen? Both are important in restoration. So let's remember that seeking simple Christianity is a lifelong process. We have not arrived, but we are on a journey. And I've always believed that the Lord is more interested in the direction we're headed than simply where we are at that moment. So let's continue the journey towards simple Christianity as we live the authentic, genuine, real Christian life. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, all of the forms taught by Scripture are imperative, but so is the spirit of the early church taught in Scripture. In 1848, Joseph Brackett penned these words, "'Tis the gift to be simple, 'tis the gift to be free. 'Tis the gift to come down where you ought to be. And we find ourselves in the place just right, it will be in the valley of love and delight, where true simplicity is gained. To bow and to bend, we shan't be ashamed. To turn and to turn will be our delight, till by turning, turning, we come around right." Brothers and sisters, let's keep turning, oriented to the teaching of the Word of God, till we, quote, turn around right. And that's a lifetime process. It's not something that's going to be accomplished overnight. But let's keep turning our lives and turning the congregation to the teaching of Scripture. Yes, to restore the forms, but also to restore the spirit of the early church. Rick Henneman and Roseanne Purdy penned these words, "'Tis the gift to live simply, 'tis the gift to live free. 'Tis a gift to live such that Christ is seen in me. When I'm free of clutter neath my roof and my feet, I'll be free in my spirit, my Lord to meet." I don't think those words are necessarily wrong, but it's not just physical clutter that gets in our lives, it's spiritual clutter, isn't it? Things that hinder us in our walk with God, things that come between us and God, something that we put in place of God, our own little idols, if you will. Let's get rid of the clutter, because we just want to be people of faith, people of the Christian faith, the simple Christian faith. In a few moments, we're going to be singing number 714, Trust and Obey. It's an old hymn, a familiar hymn. It's a great hymn. I'm going to tell you a story about that hymn before we close. A number of years ago, I worked with a secretary of the Downtown Church of Christ in Searcy, Arkansas, because I was a part of a group called Campaigns Northwest, and basically she was my secretary by long distance, and she told me this story about her son. Her son was developmentally disabled. He was functioning on roughly a two-year-old level, mainly nonverbal, very, very limited verbal skills at all. Little Ricky, however, was not unintelligent, and he had a favorite hymn. And his favorite hymn was, Trust and Obey. And one day when she was at the church building, Ricky busied himself on the front pew. And he opened all of the songbooks on the front pews of that church. And it's a rather large congregation, you know. Their building is a lot bigger than ours. And he opened them all to the same page. The page that had his favorite hymn, Trust and Obey. Because little Ricky wanted to make sure that his favorite hymn was sung in church. That's a heart-touching story to me because I know little Ricky, who's passed on now, and I know his mom. It's a heart-touching story also because even a child like mine, developmentally disabled, hindered in many ways, still understood something. And he understood something about love and life and trusting and obeying Jesus. The Christian faith is meant to be simple enough to be understood. I don't think Ricky understood all of the ins and outs of theology. I don't think he was reached an age of accountability. I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying he understood something about the nature of faith because that hymn touched his heart. And he knew enough to find that hymn in all of those books and make sure that everyone else on that front row found that hymn. This evening, I invite you to join me in the journey of the simple Christian faith. Christianity is not meant to make our lives more complex and more burdened. Jesus didn't come to do that. Jesus came to simplify things. But to simplify things means yielding ourselves to Him. And yes, Christianity does have a complexity, as George rightly said. There are things we'll never figure out, and that's okay. You see, God wants to meet us in our hearts. He wants our hearts to meet Him. He wants us to trust and obey Him. It's really as simple as that. And if you need to respond in a simple faith, whether you've been a Christian and want the prayers of the church, whether you need to be baptized into the Lord Jesus and begin that walk of simple Christianity, we invite you to the object of our faith, who is Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. Let's stand together and sing.